and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. We may not parallel that experience at this moment. I'm hopeful that we are aware of a glimpse of what he said. John is going through the experience of a change of consciousness that is indescribable. Something that has happened once in a lifetime. And if we are able to come to a similar experience, it will be like the world changing in front of our eyes. And you will see, actually, a new universe around you and a new source of life for you and a new type of government. Everything will be new. When the consciousness is lifted to this point, of Christ awareness, the world is different. And I don't think any of us plan to live without that experience. Because it's a sign that you have achieved not only what you want to achieve, but what God wants you to achieve. And if we keep in mind that our lives ought to be dedicated to what God wants us to achieve, then our goals will be high. And nothing that tries to dissuade us, to detour us, to turn us into something less will even be heard by us, because we have our eyes on the achievement of heaven on earth. And because we have our eyes on that, we're going to find a way to keep lifting, a way of turning away from those things that deprive us of the strength, the wisdom, the courage. Everything will be in one direction, but mostly we will have reached the point of deciding that we can only do it with God's active help. And that means the only way to get to God is the Christ, and I've got to get to the Christ. What stands in our way? The only thing in your way is me, the me that you think you are. Nothing else deters you. There's a lot of reasons why me gets in the way. It isn't all stubbornness. It's not knowing how to get out of the way. But if your will is determined, you'll find that when you can't quite get rid of me, You can always be trying to get the Christ to come into your life again. You can always go within. What we must do is not within the human sphere. So don't expect yourself to find the way by yourself. The way is Christ. And Christ is not out there. Christ will open your heart, your eyes. Everything about you must be Christed. In the end, there is no you, there is only the Son of God. Are you willing? You have maybe 15 years to do this, maybe 25, maybe 10. If each minute of each day is a God day, if each minute of each day you are doing the Father's business, you must realize that 5 years from now, you will be very, very advanced. And what you are doing then will be quite different than what you're doing now. And that 5 years from now can only happen if you do what you're doing now. Later, you will find that you are quite a veteran, and you have the Father well isolated in your consciousness so that you can see, so that it is clarified what you are to do. And from this comes the full blossoming of your Christhood. Try to imagine what you're going to be involved with, how you will be a force for all that God is. Some of you are even young enough so that in 10 years you'll be so advanced that you can accomplish wonders. In short, what I'm trying to say is that even though things get tough at the moment, they loosen up. You find you're further ahead than you expected. And then the glory begins to permeate your being. You're actually living in the kingdom of God and aware of it. The place whereon you stand is holy ground, but it's not the holy ground that you found 10 years ago. It's not holy ground because you read about it. It's holy ground because you are there. You have arrived in consciousness. So nothing you see today, nothing, will be the same tomorrow. You'll be that closer to where you're going. And that's what you've got to keep in mind. The fruits of the Spirit . There's no way to describe them. When you know God's presence as a fact, that's living in heaven. And there are people in this work who know God's presence. And they are living in the same place that everyone else is living, but they are living in heaven, and the rest of the world is not aware of it. when we look at the atomic universe, we have to learn that we are not in it. You can't be in the kingdom and the atomic universe. It has its good and its bad. We're not in either of them. If you have difficulty with that, it is because the mortal of you is very much alive, and it naturally has mortal desire. When you are able to diminish the mortal of you and find the immortal of you, then you discover that all the things that you have always wanted but didn't know you could have are part of your being. Someday you will discover that you are self-existent. That's a rare state of being. Now, if you knew that this was not going to be attained by you in a short time, what would you do about it? You might say, well, I won't attain this now, so why bother to work at it? And what would happen would be that you'd merely set it off to your next reincarnation. But do you see how reincarnation doesn't even fit into your vocabulary when you start thinking about living in the kingdom of God? I'm not looking forward to coming back to finish my work. I'm looking forward to rising above this earth to finish God's work, to be entrusted with more divine responsibility. I feel that we have made such a fine start into the divine life that we are to live, that those of us who have attained some measure of it will continue with it, and it will be a growing by leaps and bounds, not as humans grow. We won't grow 5 feet and 5 feet more. It will be more or less infinite dimensions of growth. We'll go very quickly. And I'm looking forward to seeing the signs of that. Some of us will be out in Hawaii next year. You can see now what a tremendous seminar that would be, even if we didn't say a word. Because 1 year of living in this consciousness of trying to maintain who we are and what we are will produce some of the miracles that we've been reading about. Some of the things that will happen just automatically. And we're now getting into that level. It's a beautiful level. It's not effortless. It's not any effort required. You just ride into it. You accept what is given to you. But it demands constant work on your part. It doesn't come easy by itself. It demands someone who is staying there and going through all of the daily work that must be done of seeing that I am not like the world is. I'm probably the only immortal in my community. and I've got to work on it consistently, or else I will lose it. Now, here comes the problem. How did that get into an immortal? That proves you haven't yet attained the true degree of immortality. But why is it there? It's there to help you become an immortal. If you don't have problems, you don't have progress. Problems are going to continue for quite some time, and their intensity will continue. You might find you have life and death problems, but if you know truth, if you know who you are, those life and death problems are converted. They fulfill their purpose. You are that much ahead, but you're still here. No matter what hits you, if you rest in your immortality, which is the same as knowing that Christ is my name, you will say to yourself, this problem is not happening to Christ. Who is it happening? Who is it happening to? It's happening to my concept of being mortal. But I'm not. Now, if I drop the mortality and rest in Christ and continue to rest in Christ, will I have the problem? Or will it do me in? You'll only ask that if you have not the Christ, because when you have the Christ, you know the power. Nothing can do you in. Every problem must be met with the knowledge, and this is the beauty of it, that it isn't real. If it's real, or you think it's real, then you have not attained your Christhood, or you do not accept your Christhood. No problem can be real. If you just put that into your consciousness as a fact that you can depend on, that no problem is real. I live in God's perfect universe. And when I accept a problem as real, I simply don't live in God's perfect universe. I don't believe it's perfect. I don't believe it's here. You give it away. You give away your heritage. Now, those who have discovered that they can stand on the truth know that the truth is the power. No matter what you say, no matter what you do, you are the creation of the Father. You have a perfect body of spirit, and you do not have a physical body at all. You do not have an atomic body. You do not have a finite body. The word used is incorporeal. You have no physical structure. There's no physical structure in this room. Every bit of physical structure that seems to be in this room is your concept, your belief. And your pains are in your belief, in your concept. Your emotional problems are in your concept. Any problem you have, when you stop and rest for a moment, and realize that I am not sitting in this body. This body is not mine. If you think you're pretending, you haven't risen to the level which is able to see and feel and know the truth. We are not physical creatures with physical bodies. Oh, how you have to work at that. And you know, it doesn't come through your thinking about it. You can't drum it home in yourself and say, now I see. No. When you least expect it, something will happen in your consciousness and you'll be aware that you do not have the physical body. That's how you'll discover the truth of it, not through a hard reasoning process. You can't reason yourself out of this body. You can't five-sense yourself out of this body. But one day you'll be there and you won't even think about it. You just know, I am in the body and I can't think of the body as being in it or part of it. And you'll find that you have at last come to a moment of truth. It's very necessary to come to the level where you're aware that there is no body. Now, there'll be pain if somebody hits you. You have no body, but there'll be pain. Because it's hard to just lose all concept, throw it away. You just can't wrap it up and put it somewhere on a shelf. You have to lose the concept gradually. You have to lose the sense awareness gradually. But that's what you're building, the other concept. The other concept is not a concept, it's a fact. I have an invisible body, and I don't have two of them. Just one invisible and no visible. I want to repeat that experiment and find that you can move out of this physical body, because when you move out of it frequently, you won't even have to move out of it in order to know you're not in it. This body is the result of your consciousness. That's why it appears here. You have an inner consciousness which becomes your outer body. When your consciousness is pure, you have less of a body out here, less of a problem body, and you have a Christ body, which appears to people, but which you are not in and you're conscious of it. Try to see that you're not in this body. You can't be in it because it isn't here. This is the same body that feels a lot of pain when you go to the dentist. See that you're not in the body that feels the pain at the dentist. And try it sometime when you go to the dentist. This is the body that could be in an auto wreck. If you're in one, try to know you're not in the body that was wrecked. Because you never will be in an auto wreck. Your concept of body may be, but not yourself, and not the self that finds the new heaven and the new earth. It won't be in an auto wreck. Nothing will ever hurt the real body. And if you can rest in that knowledge, it will be much more pleasant on this earth. All that can be hurt is a concept called pain that you experience in your human mind. Now try and see what it's like to have a Christ mind. In which pain is impossible. There's no pain because there's only the Christ body. And you're feeling lighter now. This Christ body is quite active. It wants to leap in every direction. It's not set down in one place like a physical body is. It doesn't inherit defects from a parent. It's possible to experience death in the physical body, but the Christ body is aware that death has not occurred. When there are scenes in the Bible of the boy and the girl, and even Lazarus, that's because the Christ body is not confined. And you feel it. We used to practice the awareness that this body can sit here while I am in the next room. This body will never hold you back. Your consciousness is free of the body. It can obey the Father's will to go anywhere it wishes. There's not even one atom in your real body. Not one. There's nothing there to pain, to break, to grow old. It's an eternal body. And the quicker you are able to experience it, the quicker you are experiencing what is always yours. I find it's very helpful to practice this quite frequently, because you find unconsciously you find yourself in this body when you have practiced it. You can be 100 years old, and someone else can be 20, and both are in the type of body which knows no age. You'll find after a while you know it's reality, because things that you experience begin to come into your consciousness more realistically, more tangibly, and you realize that you have been out of the body without knowing it. It's not a game for acrobats. It's a reality to be experienced. Don't be surprised if you find yourself thinking you can walk on water. You will do it, but the water won't be visible. And when you're walking on the water, that's how it will appear to someone else. You won't be walking on water. You'd get wet if you did. But there's no water there. And you walk there, where the water appears to be. The water is not there. The water was not where Jesus walked. These are things that come to you, and you find your freedom through them. Gulliver's Travels, The Giant Among the Small People. They were showing you how it is when you walk in your spiritual body. The importance of this exercise is that you get to feel a different level than the human self. And unconsciously, you're not imprisoned in the human self when you do. If you found yourself imprisoned in an elevator, if you had had some degree of success with this type of exercise, it might surprise you that you're not very worried about being imprisoned in the elevator. It might surprise you that suddenly they found a way to heal the elevator. When Peter was in prison, it didn't contain him. All it contained was his physical body. And because he had none, he was out of the prison. It sounds like a miracle, but it's a reality. It's a man who has lived in the truth of his being. We must be ready for the unusual, because to attain freedom, we must realize that there's nothing that holds me prisoner. All that stops me is my own awareness, and as that increases, I'll be freer and freer. I'm not interested in stepping out of jail or elevators or that sort of thing, but I use them simply as examples to show what we must expect in order to reach the point where I finally know the world does not contain my body. We had to walk through the world in a different kind of freedom than we have ever known. Now, when you go into your office tomorrow, you'll still be what you were today. But the awareness of the fact that those walls are not there, that floor is not there, that ceiling is not there, and that your body is not there, is an important remembrance to bring you the Christ experience of living in a non-physical world. I don't mean that you must stay there and live with that understanding. You never get any work done. But from time to time, bring it to remembrance. This room is not here. There are not 150 people sitting here. What is here is what I cannot see. The Spirit of God is here. Someone coming into the room will see the 150 people. If I open my eyes, I'll probably see the 150 people. But only the Spirit of God is here. You've got to establish those truths. And someday, the room will disappear for you. I assure you, it will disappear for you. You may find someone standing in the room, but it won't be a person. I know a lot of people have not experienced that, but some of our students have. The room just disappears. It wasn't really there, but it didn't disappear until something happen to you, something that can't be explained, freed you from the belief that that room was there. Now, when that happens, there's nothing can take away that experience. Nothing can make you believe it didn't happen. And as you think about it, you will realize that you have been in the spirit world. And you have seen form, but it's not corporeal form. It's form on a different level. But it's real form. And that all comes from the practice, time to time, of knowing the unreality of the forms that surround you. If not for these experiences, it would be impossible to teach this. You cannot teach what you haven't experienced. And in the experiences, sometimes you're brought face to face with a degree of knowledge about the source of the power that courses through your invisible self. And you're told sometimes about that power, how it can only be used for good. It can't be used to hurt anybody. It never appears on the surface. And then you know there is an invisible universe around you, a living universe. It is going on right now. And everything that we do in the visible world has no effect upon it at all. This visible world, which we see, does not change the invisible world which we don't see. Nothing in that invisible world happens by happenstance. It never happens imperfectly. There's nothing in it to embarrass anyone. It is perfect always. And that's where we're going. Because that's the new heaven and the new earth.